sometimes our biggest accomplishment of the day is not throwing something at our TVs. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Where does the real power lie? The power behind the power. Because it's no longer about who lives in the White House. It's about who owns the White House.
This is the presidency. How much higher can a politician go?
The real power isn't here. It's beyond here. It's above it, but still working in conjunction with it.
Hi there. Welcome, Kate Daly Show. Uncle Milt will be back in just a bit, I think. I welcome you to the show, of course. I have to say, Del Bigtree, what a fantastic guest, knows his stuff, speaks all over the world on vaccines and the dangers, and has been doing so for a very long time. That's why I asked him, my gosh, you know, what has this been like during COVID? And of course, people are waking up ever even more so than they ever have before to the nightmare that we've been in as far as what's coming next, and that's the vaccine. So I really appreciate Del Bigtree coming on. I'll take a caller. Sure. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi there.
I have a question to which there isn't an answer.
Okay.
But I'm curious as to how many people would have tested positive for the coronavirus before COVID hit. I mean, if they were doing all this testing, I'm willing to bet there's probably a good percentage of people that would have tested positive, although they never would have been sick.
Can you imagine not being ill and wanting to go take a test to see if you are? I just
can't.
It's baffling. I don't know why anyone would pony themselves up for that, but we've never done that in the history before where they've told people to go in and test even though you don't have any symptoms and you're not sick, but we just want to know if you are sick. It makes no sense. Zero sense.
Thank you, Kate.
All right. Appreciate it. I wish there was an answer to that, actually. It would be nice. There just isn't. So that's our problem. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate. Where is this meeting for the 5G tower at?
Yes. Planning. That's on, I talk about that on the local hour, but that would be at a look at Planning Commission for St. George. Thank you for that, though. Really appreciate it. Okay. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate. Uh-huh. I have a question for you. So I just heard about the BYU policy that students would be randomly COVID tested,
mm-hmm.
and the text messages that the students receive tells them that they have a certain period of time where they are supposed to go in and have their test taken. If they cannot make it for whatever reason, they will be tested or counted as positive. And I didn't know if you'd heard anything about that, if there are other universities that are having a similar policy.
Yeah, there are other universities that are doing
this. That's like a random drug test. That's ridiculous.
It is. And not having any symptoms or anything, they want the test numbers to go up with students. And it's really despicable. And yes, other universities are either reviewing to do this or starting to do this, which is, it's truly amazing to me that they can get away with that. And there are kids leaving the universities over this. They are. They're saying,
good.
Okay,
glad to hear that.
I'm out of here. Not very many, but there are. So, despicable.
And I've heard a lot of feedback from professors mm-hmm. and students at the university level with having to mask up because they won't allow the professors to wear a face shield
mm-hmm.
Like they are in some of the different elementaries and lower level classes.
Right.
And they are saying how horrible it is because the kids don't interact anymore.
Right. They don't. And also in the, it's very, very true. In fact, all of our elementary kids don't share anything, can't smile at each other. I mean, can you imagine what that's doing to kids? I can't. The psychological
effects. So, I mean, it's even being felt by the professors and the students at the university level. So,
right.
Just all over the place. Continue to Zoom.
Yep. Thank you for that. Really, really appreciate it. You know, okay, I'll take one more. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi there, Kate.
Hi there.
Well, I think what we're being shown explicitly is, one, how well planned out this is,
mm-hmm.
and two, how they've enlisted the best psychological minds in the world to control us to the point to where it's a no-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point of the no-win situation is to prime us for the next step, and there will always be a next step,
right.
And it always leads to the same end, and that's compliance with whatever they say.
Yep. Thank you.
And people, you've got to stand up.
Right. Oh, we so do. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. I know. And I know it's getting tough. I can feel it too. But that's okay. We were born for this. We really were. I love Del Big Tree's attitude. We were talking off the air and he just says, I just try to remain really positive because I know that with enough momentum that we can hurt their well-laid plans. And that's very true. Not only did they have the war scenarios that they put out, they also put out, of course, Event 201, Johns Hopkins and Bill Gates and all the rest put together that pandemic scenario that ended up playing out, and that was last fall. And then before that, they put out the war game. Gee, if we ever had a pandemic, how do we get National Guard on the street? So there was that. And there's just so many well-laid plans that we have a hard time sort of digesting because we don't think that people are that diabolical. The problem is that they are. And that's our problem, our cognitive dissonance in seeing that, because we wouldn't do these kinds of things. We wouldn't be this tyrannical. We would not react this way. We would not plan for these types of events, but they sure are. And they're planning it because they're at the source and they're making it happen. So that's the disconnect for people in their cognitive dissonance. It's very, very hard to take that on and see it. But it's so funny that you can look and see that they are projecting, just like when we read the 2010 Rockefeller report, basically predicting every single thing that's happened this year. I mean, from 10 years ago, right? So I wanted to bring this up, and I might do more on this. Back in 1972, hat tip, Mike, the WHO Bulletin 47. The 1972 World Health Organization Bulletin 47, Memorandum 1 and 2 parts on that. This is very interesting because it's sort of foreshadowing what vaccines will look like after 1972. Now, I really want you to take this information in because it's really scary at the same time when you think of well-laid plans. The object of vaccines would be to totally disable the immune system, load every cell of the victim's body with infection, switch the immune system on causing the host to kill themselves in a cytokine storm, 1, 2, 3, dead, right? And those WHO memorandas describe a 3-stage impact of the 3 shots that many people will be forced to take this autumn. And when I say forced, I mean, will the schools say they can't go to school without it? That's what all these states are treading water to get to the vaccine. Okay. They're all complicit with the vaccine. And if they spent since 1972 designing these to weaken our immune system, okay, you think about this, weakening the immune system for why? What? For what reason? Well, obvious health reasons. But what if part of it is about putting something in our body that is a foreign object, okay, that shouldn't be there? And your body, your natural immune system would be to fight off anything that's there that's a foreign body, whether inside of a vaccine or however it comes into your body. And I'm talking about anything that you could probably imagine, from chips to anything else. And what if your immune system... What if since 1972, the designs of the vaccines, and especially after 1986, when regulations were lifted, if the reasoning behind that was to weaken your immune system to not go against anything that would be considered a foreign body, so that your body would not recognize that as quickly, right? So it wouldn't fight against it as an infection or as something that shouldn't be there, because our bodies are hardwired to do that. Maybe they could get away with putting in all kinds of stuff in the vaccines, the weaker they make us. The weaker they make the immune system with each hit, right? Because what did Judy Mikovits say? She said 2017 on, do not take that flu shot. because it's suppressing and harming your immune system. And this is why it's so dangerous. Please do not take it. Since 2017, do not take the flu shot. And what's coming in our future, there's a reason they have 300 of these already kind of stored up, and they are putting them together and they want them on the marketplace. We live in a time with really good sanitation. We're not in the 1600s or the 1300s. The plague wouldn't even happen today because of how things are, our health, our nutrition, everything else, and the medical science that we've had up to this point just wouldn't happen. It wouldn't spread like that. We have good sanitation, and that's usually one of the biggest keys, right? That's usually one of the biggest keys. And so all I'm saying is this. Think about what's been going on since the early 70s from this WHO memoranda, this Bulletin 47 from 1972. Think about where we have landed after the last almost 50 years with vaccines. And doctors are still trained in, you know, best intentions. Oh, these will save us. Save us from what? We have great sanitation now. Why do we need all of these vaccines that are coming? Why? What would be the reason? What would be, unless it was man-made in a lab and they wanted to pony this up as their own solution, which wouldn't even be a solution to something that they're making. Vaccines to normal occurrences, I mean, at this point in time, It would be a strange occurrence to even have one have to crop up as a solution to anything. Why in the world are they trying to sell us on a common cold coronavirus vaccine, on a flu vaccine that only goes after certain types of flu? That's why they're so ineffective. Why do you think they're pushing this in the workplace? Why do you think they've been pushing it in the workplace for 20 years and on the Oscars and everywhere else? And they're pushing. Why? Ask yourself that. There is a reason that we've got 300 of these coming, and they are going to prop up their excuse to have one, and then they're going to prop up their solution. And is it all to weaken the immune system for whatever is injected or coming into our body so that our body doesn't recognize it as a problem, which it normally would? You tell me. It looks like very well-laid plans to me. It's a three-stage impact of three shots. For every crime, there's got to be a motive, right? An indication that was deliberate, a planned event. And the WHO memorandums provide the evidence of this deliberate, long-term plan to weaken the immune system by use of the first vaccine. All right. And then they inject, of course, the live virus into the body by a second, and then they create a cytokine storm using the third. And that goes after the Naglies. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
And evidence.org.